We shall now turn to Isaiah chapter 39, and our text for this morning is verse 8. Isaiah 39, verse 8. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." He said, "Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." Hezekiah was one of the best kings that Israel had. He was a real man of God, a great man of God, a holy man of God, and he was a sinner. All of us are sinners, no matter how good living we are, no matter how diligent and faithful we are, no matter how involved we are in the church, no matter what position of leadership we might have in the church, we're all sinners. We all do things we shouldn't do, say things we shouldn't say, think things we shouldn't think. There's only one man that was perfect, and that, of course, was Jesus. Think of Paul, who was a greater saint than the Apostle Paul. And yet, how does he describe himself? How does he, with the help of the Holy Spirit, describe himself? How does he, as an inspired writer of Scripture, speak about himself? He says in Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am." He says in Ephesians, "Less than the least of all the saints." Every other saint is a bigger person, a better person than me. I, Paul, I'm the worst, the poorest, the least of all the Christians. How could he say that? And then he says to Timothy, "I am the chief of sinners." Surely not. Surely there were bigger sinners than him. How could he say, "I'm the chief of sinners"? Because he knew himself better than he knew anyone else. He knew his own heart. And he could see the deceitfulness of his heart, the pride of his heart, the covetousness of his heart, the idols of his heart. And if you and I have our eyes open, we too will say, "O wretched man that I am. I am less than the least of all the saints, the Christians. I am the chiefest of sinners." It's good to have a realistic assessment of ourselves and to be aware of that rotten heart that is inside us. As long as we're in this world, there's the flesh in us, the lust of the flesh, the sinful indwelling sin that is within us, the corruption that is there, and we won't get rid of it. We must battle against it, but we won't get rid of it until we reach heaven, till we die. And then we will be made perfectly holy. But in this life, there's always that flesh tempting us, seducing us, leading us astray. And then all around us, there's a wicked world that's tempting us to be like itself. And of course, there's that wily serpent, the devil, that snake that comes to tempt us and seduce us, the evil one, Satan himself. So we're surrounded by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and therefore we have to cry out, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. Oh, wretched man that I am." How much we need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sins. And how much we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us with all might in the inner man, so that we will crucify the flesh, trample down on lust, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Beware, especially of pride. Every one of us is tempted in some way by pride. You might think, well, I'm nothing great. I'm not somebody special. And yet, in every one of us, we find something that we think of as quite good, a little bit better than some other people. We think of ourselves as a little wiser than some others. We wouldn't do the sort of things some people do. And we do some good things, and we try our best in this way and that way, and we're a good neighbour, and we're a loving person, and we're kind, and we're sensible, and we're all sorts of things, and we're all the time trying to find something of which we can boast. Pride, sadly, has far too big a place in our hearts. Now here we come to this passage before us. And first of all, we have pride revealed. Hezekiah was a great and godly man, a man after God's own heart. But here we see pride. Hezekiah had been sick. He was seriously ill, so ill that he was dying. And he not only knew himself that he was dying, but God sent to him the prophet Isaiah. And the prophet came with a message and said to him, "Set your house in order, for you are going to die and not live." God said to him, "You're dying." It's one thing to have the doctor tell you that you're terminally ill. But sometimes doctors get it wrong, don't they? There was a woman in our congregation in Knightswood, and she was told a few years ago that she had 3 weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks to live. She's still alive today. The best of consultants get it wrong at times. But here is not a doctor saying, "You're going to die," but God. God said to him, through the prophet Isaiah, "Set your house in order, write your will, sort everything out, for thou shalt die and not live." And Hezekiah was a relatively young man, the beginning of his life. This was before he had any children. "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And then we notice the power of prayer. Because we're told that Isaiah, when Isaiah came and told him that, we're told in verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. You can imagine him lying on his bed, his sick bed, his death bed, and he turns his face toward the wall, away from Isaiah, away from his courtiers, and he prayed to the Lord. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. So he didn't just pray, but he wept. He wept and he wept before the Lord. But you see the power of prayer. God heard his prayer. God hears every prayer. But God heard it mercifully and saw his tears. And God answered his prayer. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. What an encouragement that is for us to pray. Even when things seem bleak, when it seems impossible. when it seems as if it were the death sentence has been pronounced against us, pray. When it seems everything is telling us that it's impossible, remember, with God all things are possible. There's nothing impossible to God. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. What a God we have. Maybe there's something you're praying for. And maybe you're not getting an answer. And maybe you've been praying for days and weeks and months, maybe even years for something. And there's no answer. Are you to give up? Jesus says, pray and don't faint. Pray and don't give up. Remember the Syrophoenician woman who came with her praying to Jesus for her daughter who was devil-possessed, that she might be healed? She seemed to get one rebuff after another. But eventually she got what she prayed for. Remember the woman who came to the unjust judge? And he said, pay me a bribe. And she had no money to pay bribes, so he ignored her. But she kept pestering him. And eventually he said, better give this woman what she wants, otherwise she'll weary me. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry unto him day and night? Will God not hear your prayers? You who are the darling of his soul, you for whom his son died, you whom he has loved from all eternity, you who are his elect, his chosen, his beloved, will he not hear your prayers? If the unjust judge hears and answers, how much more will the judge of heaven, the God of grace, the God of love and the God of mercy and the God of salvation hear? He heard the prayer of Hezekiah and he'll hear your prayer too. So keep praying. Don't give up. Pray, trust, look, believe, expect great things from God. So Isaiah said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster poultice upon the boil, and he shall recover. And he did recover. And when he recovered, something happened. The king of Babylon, far, far away, distant country, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, heard about Hezekiah, how he had been sick, and how he was now healed. So he sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. He sent him a present, sent him good wishes, sent a delegation. Hundreds and hundreds of miles this delegation came with a present to Hezekiah. At that time, Assyria was the great threatening empire and power. But on the far side of Assyria was the country of Babylon, a growing country. No doubt there was a desire on the part of the king of Babylon to build alliances, to form treaties, to get nations on his side so that he could resist the power of Assyria. And when Hezekiah sees these men coming from distant Babylon with a present, we all like getting presents, don't we? Getting a present, not just getting a present, but all these good wishes from the mighty king of Babylon, he's pleased. He feels special. He feels honored. And pride rises up in his heart. I must be somebody quite important. I must be a great king. Isn't it amazing that from hundreds of miles away, thousands of miles away, the king of Babylon has sent a present to me and good wishes to me. How special I am. And pride arises in his heart. How sad this is. But are you not like that yourself sometimes? You get a compliment. Somebody praises you. And you think, well, yes, I'm quite a good person, haven't I? And I've been very helpful, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I'm really quite somebody. I'm somebody special. People notice me. People say nice things to me. People give presents to me. You get a compliment, and it goes to your head. You're inflated by pride. It's amazing how a little flattery can spoil our judgment. So Hezekiah welcomes these visitors from Babylon, and he shows them all his treasures. Come and see how wealthy I am. Come and see my gold and my silver and my precious stones and my spices and my precious ointments and my perfumes. Come and see my house of armor, my shields, my swords, my helmets, my armor, my special weapons that I have. Come and see all the great riches that I possess, and all the power that belongs to me, and all our beautiful buildings. Haven't I great? Haven't I rich? Haven't I wise? Don't I have a lot of common sense? Haven't I so great? So successful. And you see the pride of Hezekiah. And if there's one thing that God hates, it's pride. Why does he hate pride so much? Because pride is taking the glory from God and giving it to ourselves. Pride is breaking the commandments. The very first commandment: thou shalt have no other gods before me. Pride makes a god of ourselves. Look at me. Think highly of me. Praise me. Worship me. But you and I are to bow low before God. We are to worship him. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Get rid of the self-love. Trample down on the self-praise and exalt God. But pride is the very opposite. It's breaking the very first commandment. It's taking the glory from God and giving it to ourselves. Does pride trouble you? Are you concerned about it? Can you see it in your own heart? Do you confess it? Do you ask for forgiveness for pride? Pride revealed then. The second thing that we have here is judgment pronounced. We're told that Isaiah comes along, sent by God. And we're told that he says, verse 3 of chapter 39, then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? Hezekiah said, they came from a far country unto me, even from Babylon. Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen, and there is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. They've seen everything. I've showed everything to them. I haven't hid anything from them. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day, the treasures, shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, he didn't have any sons at this time, but he was going to have sons. Of thy sons which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs. They shall be slaves in the palace of the king of Babylon. Well, that was pretty shocking, wasn't it? You've gone around showing them all the wealth you have. It's like, in a sense, showing a thief around your house, showing all your precious jewels and your heirlooms and the things that are so valuable, where you keep your purse and your wallet and all your money. How foolish, how sad, how destructive. He's showed everything, and the day is coming when the king of Babylon will enter into Judah and into Jerusalem and take all these things away. All the wealth that you've acquired and your fathers have acquired and all the heirlooms that you have, they'll all be taken away. And not just that, but the very children you're going to have, they will be taken as eunuchs to serve in the palace of the king of Babylon. Hezekiah had been flattered by the delegation from Babylon. But God doesn't flatter him. It's the very opposite. What a shocking message he received from God. These Babylonians that you think are your friends who came taking a present to you, they will come and they will destroy your city and your country, carry your wealth away, carry your people away into exile in Babylon, where they will be for 70 years in exile. And your very children will be slaves to the king of Babylon. Devastating news. Pride comes before a fall. And we have so many cases of this in the Bible. Think of some of the other kings. We think of Asa. He fought against an enormous army of Africans, of Ethiopians. And because he trusted in God and prayed to God, he got victory over them. And then an army from Israel in the north, the 10 tribes, came in. And in his fear, he sent presents to the king of Syria to come and help him to overcome the attacking force from the 10 northern tribes. Instead of trusting God, he trusted the king of Syria. And when Hanani the prophet came to tell him about what he had done was wrong, he got angry with God's prophet and put him in prison. And so God struck Asa with a disease in his feet, and he suffered from that disease till he died. Think of another king, another godly king, Uzziah. Very successful, a good man, a good king, doing a good work. But they got carried away with his own importance. And he thought, I'm not just king, I can be a priest too. And he went into the temple to offer incense before the Lord, something that only the priests were to do. And God struck him down with leprosy, and he was a leper till the day of his death. Think of another king, King Zechariah. He wasn't a godly king, but he asked advice of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah told him what he should do, how he should live, how he should yield to the king of Babylon, how he should go out to him, and if he did that, all would be well. He listened to Jeremiah. He listened to the word of God, but he refused to obey. So in due course, what happened? The Chaldeans broke into Jerusalem. He himself was captured. His sons were taken, and they were executed in his presence. So that, and then his eyes were put out. The last thing he saw with his eyes were his children being killed. Pride comes before a fall. How important it is for us to bow to the Lord, to be obedient to his word, to humble ourselves in his presence. But then, thirdly, you see Hezekiah acquiescing in the will of God. Verse 8, then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. He shows a lovely spirit, doesn't he, here? He's not like Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who when the man of God from Judah came and cursed his altar and told him what was going to happen to him and to his family because of his wickedness, he wanted to arrest him and punish him. But no, Hezekiah bows before the will of God. He shows grace in his heart. Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. Think of Cain, the first man born into the world. God warned him, sin crouches at the door, but you shall rule over it. You shall command sin. You shall not let the devil come in and destroy you. But Cain didn't listen. He let the devil in and he murdered his brother to his own harm and destruction as well. But David, you remember when David sinned horribly with Bathsheba and then killing Bathsheba's husband. And then Nathan came along and said, thou art the man. And David acquiesced. He showed grace in his heart. He bowed before God. He said, against thee, thee only have I sinned. In thy sight done this ill. That when thou speakest, thou mayest be just and clear in judging still. Do thou with hyssop sprinkle me, I shall be cleansed so. Yea, wash thou me, and then I shall be whiter than the snow. David, he bowed, he confessed. Later on, when David sinned, numbering Israel, again when he was unable to see his sin, he bowed before God. He acquiesced. He confessed. We cannot fight God. Sometimes we have a plan. There's something we want to do. And God frustrates it. It doesn't work out. And we get angry. But it's wrong to be angry. Trust God. Commit your life to him. Follow his will. Accept his providence. Godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great to be content. Good is the word of the Lord. God's always good. And even when God's chastening hand is upon us, God is good. Confess that God is good. Admit it. Accept it. God knows best. Bow before him. call it a thorn in the flesh. 3 times he prayed earnestly to the Lord that it would be removed. But God said no. My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul said, I will glory in my infirmities, and I'll glory in the thorn in the flesh. I accept it. God knows best. What God puts in my way, I accept. God gives me what is right. My grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I will gladly glory in my infirmities. Some people try to fight with God. Think of Pharaoh. Moses said, God says, let my people go, that they may serve me and worship me. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? He thought he could fight God, but he learned he couldn't. 10 devastating plagues came upon the land of Egypt. And then the cream of his army and his chariots and his own life were destroyed when he tried to follow Israel into the Red Sea to bring them back as slaves. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Well, God will show you who he is. Sometimes God's people try to resist the will of God. We think of Isaac, godly Isaac, wishing to bless Esau, his profane older child, his wicked older son. Esau brought him venison, and he enjoyed Esau's presence of venison. He wanted to bless him, but he wasn't allowed to. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. One way or another, God will make sure that Jacob gets the blessing, not Esau. We think of Joseph. You remember how Joseph came with his 2 sons? Manasseh the oldest, Ephraim the youngest. He wanted the chief blessing to be on the head of Manasseh. So he brought his 2 sons to his blind father, Manasseh coming to the right hand of Jacob, so that Jacob would place his right hand with a special blessing of the firstborn on Manasseh. But what did his father do? He crossed his hands over so that the blessing went on Ephraim. God's ways are different from our ways. God makes his choices. And we can't fight. We can't resist the plan of God. We must acquiesce in the will of God. God knows best. God knows the end from the beginning. Ephraim would be far greater than Manasseh. That was God's plan. Perfect wisdom comes from God. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Ask for wisdom and you'll get it. And wisdom is always, thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. So we have here acquiescence in the will of God. And finally, we have here rejoicing in peace and truth. He said, moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days. The Christian will always find something to rejoice in. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. No matter what your circumstances are, no matter what your pains and difficulties and troubles and problems, no matter what opposition you're facing, rejoice in the Lord. Always in the Lord, because the Lord is good and the Lord loves you and the Lord cares for you and the Lord's will is best and the Lord will ensure that all things work together for good. So no matter what's against you, no matter what hard providences you're going through, rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoicing in pain or in suffering as such, but rejoice in the Lord, who is Lord, Lord of all. And he is looking after you, ruling over you, and working out all things for the best. We are to have sorrow for our sins, but we're to rejoice in the Lord who is merciful, and in the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. There shall be peace in my days. Peace from Assyria, yes. There would be peace from Assyria, the great threatening empire, in his days. But what was more important, there would be a deeper peace, peace with God. And it's that peace with God that we all need, isn't it? The most important thing of all is to have God's peace. Not the wrath and curse of God, not the displeasure of God whom we've offended, but the peace of God. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that peace is available for sinners. Whoever you are, whatever you've done wrong, there's peace if you come to the Lord. And even when you sin in pride, and when you get carried away with your own importance, as Hezekiah was, there's still peace from God. If you ask for forgiveness, the blood cleanses from all sin. There shall be peace in my days, and there shall be truth in my days. He had the word of the prophet, God's word. What a blessing it is to have God's word. And you and I have something better than a prophet. We have the Bible. We don't have to go around looking for a prophet to give us direction on what we should do here or there or whatever. We have the Bible. We have it in our homes. We have it in our language. We can read it and study it. And the Bible is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth. Thy word is truth. That's what Jesus said. How thankful we should be for the truth. How we should treasure it, read it, meditate upon it, study it day and night, seek to apply it in our own lives. Peace and truth. There are all sorts of things that may alarm us today. On the world scene, there's Russia and China, Iran, Islamic terrorism. But peace and truth is to be found with God. There may be dark days ahead for the church. There may be persecution. Who knows what trials there may be. But God gives us peace and he gives us truth. And it's interesting to see how Isaiah 39 leads into Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The Messiah is coming. The King of Kings is coming. There's a great day ahead. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Yes, there are trials. Yes, there will be exile in Babylon, but there'll be a return from the exile, and there'll be the coming of the Messiah, and there'll be the day of Pentecost, and there'll be the gospel spreading throughout the world, and there'll be the conversion of the Jews, and there's great days ahead. Comfort ye my people. You have received double blessings from the Lord. You who have sinned, receiving double blessings from the Lord. So you see, peace and truth. Rejoice in the Lord always. The best is yet to be. Don't be frightened about tomorrow. Trust God. There's a great future for you, for everyone who trusts in God, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. There's peace and truth for you. Let's pray. O Lord, our God, we thank Thee for the peace and the truth that comes to us through the gospel. We pray that Thou wouldst help us to look to the Lord Jesus, to put our hope and confidence in Him, and to rejoice that the Lord cares for us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Thy chastening hand at times correcting us, because we know it's for our good. And we pray that we would be content, godly and content, whatever happens. Pardon us our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.